We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Knicks will lose for the second time this week in a game that was hard fought, but they can't come up short. They dropped their two in a row and will fall to two games under 500 at home. 5-7 here at the Garden, Clyde. And this was a tough one to swallow.
All right. Obviously, disappointing ending to that game. But, God, I don't even know how to wrap my head around what we just saw. I will say this. There's going to be a lot of negativity probably around the first half. I would imagine that's what happens when you go down by 21. And that's fine, and I get that. There was a lot to be upset about. They were sloppy. They were mostly on defense. They were sloppy on offense, too, with the turnovers. Alex Caruso, other than DeMar DeRozan, was absolutely by far the most important player for the Bulls. It's not even close. But if we're keeping this big picture, and we'll talk about the game specifically in a second. If we're keeping a big picture, I am going to take this game and this loss. I don't know if I want to say I'm going to take it as a positive because, look, the Knicks are a 500 team at this point. They came into the season with certain aspirations, and they're a 500 team after 22 games. I get that. It's frustrating. We wanted better, especially after the 5-1 start. They have earned this 500 record in every sense of the word. But for where this team has been at certain points in time this year, where we really didn't know what this team was going to be, because clearly they had lost their identity from last year, and clearly some things were not clicking on both ends. I'm not even sure which was worse. To me, again, I struggle to say that this game is a positive because there was a lot of bad stuff in this game too, and they lost at home in a game they could have won if they had been a little bit smarter down the stretch, and we'll get into some of the things down the stretch that went awry. But if you're keeping it big picture and you're looking for the Knicks to get back to being some version of the team that we watched last year and that we fell in love with last year, from that perspective alone, I think the game was a step in the right direction. A lot of positives to talk about, obviously. I think, look, the free throws, the missed free throws at the end are very annoying. And where did he go? 2 of 5 at the line on the game. Can't do that if you're Julius Randle. 100%. That said, I think, again, trying to keep things in perspective, the version of Julius Randle that we have seen now for two straight games, which we have not, prior to the last two games, we have not seen two straight games where Julius Randle looked like Julius Randle from last year. I'm not even sure we saw a game other than, I guess, the first Bulls game. Or was it, maybe it wasn't the first Bulls game. Maybe the Philly game, I lose track of the shit. It was maybe one or two games where Julius Randle looked kind of like Julius Randle from last year, but the team didn't play well around him. What I've loved about the last two games is Julius Randle has looked like Julius Randle again, and the team has also played well around Julius Randle. Again, with the massive caveat that they played one of the sloppiest halves of basketball you could ever hope to see in the first half. and Julius was part of that. Derrick Rose was part of that. Every defender was part of that because they were jumping. They were not sound defensively. They were not committed defensively. They had a lot of energy defensively. I think they had a sound game plan defensively. And, you know, it's impossible to talk about this game and the defense that was played in this game without talking about the fact that, and I'm probably burying the lead here, but, you know, it's so frustrating to even mention, no Nerlens Noel, Taj Gibson tossed early on what was, if that wasn't the most egregious thing I've ever seen a referee do in an NBA game, it's got to be in the top five. I don't know. You can't toss Taj Gibson there. That was utter nonsense. And I think it absolutely made a difference in the game. As a few people I'm sure have mentioned already, no RJ, I think, was a factor. Although I got to say, the way Burks, I mean, I don't, what do you do against DeMar DeRozan? Yeah, RJ's size might have bothered him. I think probably would have bothered him if RJ was healthy and, you know, really on his toes. But, I mean, fucking Burks battled, Fournier battled. All of these guys battle. It's just DeRozan is there's a reason the guy is going to make at worst all NBA second team this year if he keeps this up and he has a shot at first team. He's going to be in the MVP conversation. He probably should. He's been that good. And of course, Mitchell Robinson. Mitchell Robinson, talking about Mitchell Robinson after this game is so tough because he played arguably the grittiest, gutsiest game we've ever seen him play. And yet he's not right now. Physically, he's not right. He doesn't have the bounce and the usual movement that he has. And if you're looking really for reasons why they weren't able to pull this one out, I think those two Vucevic threes were absolutely massive down the stretch where Robinson just didn't have the movement to get back over. I'm not saying that I would have rather had like Nerlens Noel in the game because I thought their offense would have suffered if Noel's in the game. And I thought their offense was really wonderful over the second half of this game. I mean, the Knicks scored in the second half of this game. I want to say, okay, so the Knicks scored 64 points in the second half of this game. It's awesome. They would not have done that if Nerlens Noel was in the game because Nerlens Noel is a zero on offense. I don't know what the answer was. I think, honestly, the answer was probably what Tibbs ended up doing at the end, which is taking Mitch out and, you know, saying, because, like, here's the thing. You don't need to have a great rim protector to avoid penetration. And I think when you get after guys on the perimeter, you know, and the Knicks don't probably have the ideal personnel to really do that well right now. But on the whole, it's tough. It's really just tough to talk about Mitch this game. He was great, as great as he could possibly be, given physically where he was. Trying to think if I missed any other big picture things. I'm sure we're going to get to Quickly. Quickly had a rough game. Quickly got the start. You know, it's a lot for a second year player, 21-year-old kid, went 6-for-17 overall, 3-of-9 from deep. The shot that he took, the fadeaway, I thought the fadeaway was arguably bigger than the three that he put up. The three, like, that was just, that was a, it never had a chance, and the game was probably over by that point anyway. But I forget if the game was tied or they were up by one or they were down by one or whatever it was, and Quickly took a shot that, like, I don't think I've seen him take a step back two all year. And he decided to take, and you love the confidence to be able to take that shot. But if you're talking about just reasons why the Knicks couldn't pull this game out, I think that was probably up there. And I just want to say one more time, I never have any idea what the conversation around Julius Randle is going to be, because I feel like if they lose a game and Mitch and Julius Randle does something wrong, and he did a few things wrong down the stretch, he missed two free throws and he had that turnover. Again, credit to Alex Caruso. You know, I never know what it's going to be, but I think Julius Randle was, I just want to reemphasize, I thought Julius Randle played a really good game. All right. On that, I think that's all I have to say. I mean, the Bulls are a good team. I shouldn't say this because Andrew's going to get mad at me because it gives away the part of the Patreon, but we did the Patreon power rankings today, or the episode dropped today, and I had the Bulls sixth. And I, like, toyed with putting them in the first tier. They're really good. They're going to be a three seed at worst, I think. It sucks because they could have won this game, the Knicks, obviously, but they didn't. Okay, let's get to the Super Chat. I'm sure we're going to have a lot of thoughts and comments and things to discuss. Aussie Knicks fan, first comment. I love IQ's sense of momentum and getting the crowd involved with hype threes. Yeah, for sure. I mean, again, you can't teach that stuff, and it's that confidence that he has there translates, which is why you can't even really get mad at him putting up, you know, shots that don't go in down the stretch, because you'd rather have the kid willing to take those shots. The back-to-back threes in the third were so fun. Great heart from the team to come back from 21 down. This almost feels like a W. I'm not going to say that. It doesn't feel like a W to me. I wish it did. It feels like a loss because, you know, the Brooklyn game, like, yeah, you could point to the beginning of the third quarter and they were, I guess, a little lackadaisical there. Like, that was them really for most of the first half in this game. Not lackadaisical. That's the wrong word. But they were off in certain key ways in the first half, which is – and you expend so much energy. And when you expend so much energy, it's one thing to expend so much energy when you go 10 deep or 9 deep. To expend that much energy to come back and you're only going 7 deep and you only have a 7-man rotation. And I don't blame Tibbs for playing only 7 guys in the second half. Could you argue that Grimes should have gotten 5 minutes, 6 minutes, 7 minutes there? But maybe because, you know, he is good defensively. Although, again, he's a rookie. You know, a guy like DeRozan is going to bait him probably pretty easily, more so than the other guys. He baited quickly. You know, and like every offensive possession, just so huge. Jeremy E, we win this game if RJ is healthy. I guess maybe because of the defense, if RJ is 100%, you could put RJ on DeRozan. Yeah, probably. I think so. I think that's a fair comment. And I'm looking forward to RJ getting back out there. They need him. Jeremy Chase, no Randall slander tonight. Thank you, Jeremy. I appreciate that. Dude played a monster game. He made the right play all game. Thank you for pointing that out, because, again, it's one thing for a player to make mistakes and have moments where he screws up. Again, a missed free throw is a mistake. I'm just seeing – apparently the Memphis Grizzlies just got the biggest margin of victory in NBA history, 152-79 over the Oklahoma City Thunder. Man, Oklahoma City, if your goal was to tank, good job by you. No shade, Gilgeous Alexander that game. So, and boy, I guess I had Andrew Claudio. Can we edit out that part where I had Memphis, I think, like 18th or 19th in the power rankings? Anyway, but I digress. No Randall slander tonight. I mean, the Caruso steal is what it's annoying, but, like, man, Caruso's going to make the all-defense team this year, and he deserves it. And for as much as we were really bothered by the fact that RJ Barrett didn't make Seth Partnow's top 125, and Caruso was the guy that Knicks fans latched onto as, like, how the fuck do you put Alex Caruso on over RJ Barrett? Alex Caruso is one of the 125 best players in the NBA. He is. I mean, it's just, you know, you don't have to score a ton of points to win. Or to be effective, I should say. Anyway, finished the comment from Jeremy. He hit the open man, hit tough shots, 2 free throws, didn't lose that. Yeah. Good comment. Thank you. Witzel Metellus, seeing more Randall hate in the chat. Yeah, I mean, again, that's like, this is where I get, I'm not going to allow myself to get frustrated, because, like, I really do think, and I'm just going to say it, this is a casual fan thing. To look at the best player on the team, and again, the only guy, there's one player on the Knicks who any – let me rephrase that. There's 2 players on the Knicks who any opposing defense gives a flying fuck about when they have the ball. And Julius Randle is one of them, and RJ Barrett's not one of them, and Derrick Rose is the other. And Derrick Rose is, again, has a very specific skill set. If you get him in the pick and roll, he can drive – pretty much any time. Although, again, we saw him tonight get bothered by perimeter defense. We saw him tonight get bothered at the rim a few times. Like, and by the way, when Tibbs went to play him 35 minutes a game in the playoffs last year, he started wearing out by the end of game 4. Julius Randle did this shit for 71 fucking games and played more minutes than anybody in the league, and the entire offense goes through him. And then when you get to a game like this and people watch it, and again, I'm going to use the term, casual fans will be like, oh, this fucking guy takes a bad shot here, or he turns it over there. You know, I'm sorry, but like, just, you know, go learn how to be a smart fan. In the NBA, you need a player like this on your roster to have a chance at winning games. If you do not have a player like this on your roster, you are blowing fucking smoke in the wind. You're Oklahoma City getting beat by 70 fucking points. That's what you are. Julius Randle's the best guy we got. Is he perfect? God, no. He's probably not one of the top 30 players in the league. But if there are people seriously hating on him after this game, like, seriously, go root for a different fucking team. Go root for the Nets. You know, I don't have the energy for these people. Yes, he missed free throws, finishing Metellus, Mixellus's comment. Yes, he missed free throws, but we can also point to Vooch being open from three repeatedly and the late small ball from Tibbs. Lots of blame to go around. Stop hating Randle. Again, I thought the small ball was the right move. Andrew's telling me not to, you know, just anger all of the people who watch this. I thought going small was the right move because Mitch just wasn't moving. He couldn't move. You know, and I love the guttiness, I love the grittiness, but he wasn't moving out there. So Lunas Emirat. Hope tonight makes fans realize how important RJ is even when he's not hot. That's a good comment. Wing defense was terrible tonight. He helps a lot when he's hot. RJ is so valuable. Yeah, I mean, look, I think the notion that RJ was going to like shut – you know what shut down DeMar DeRozan? Nobody was going to shut down DeMar DeRozan when he was in his spot and he was getting into his positions and he had a chance to work. What was going to shut down DeMar DeRozan is when you get on him on the perimeter and you don't let him get the ball in his spots to begin with, which is why those steals by Fournier and those steals by Burks in the third quarter, absolutely, those were the things that turned the game around. Making a few threes help, but like not letting the Bulls get comfortable, and specifically DeRozan get comfortable. Like, that's what you need to do. And again, I don't know that RJ was going to necessarily do that. I thought once Fournier and Burks got fully engaged to do that shit on the perimeter and make sure DeRozan couldn't get into his spots, you know, that's what's going to win you a basketball game or help you win a basketball game. Once he gets in his spots, it's like, Jesus Christ, I don't know who – I really don't know who's stopping that guy. Maybe RJ probably would have been better, but I thought Burks battled. I'm certainly not mad at Burks for his efforts on the defensive end. Travis Stroud, extending Mitch is too hard of a call. 1 minute he blocks three in a row and you're yelling extend him. The next he's leaving Vooch open from three again. I'm just going to say very clearly, like, Mitch had something on Instagram, you know, and take Instagram, I guess, with a grain of salt. But when it's from the source, I think you have to give it some credence. He said something a week or 10 days ago that he's still not fully healthy. So if he's saying he's not fully healthy, I'm going to assume he's not fully healthy. And he doesn't look healthy. And I don't usually talk too much about what I hear from within the team, but like, they know he's not healthy. Everybody acknowledges he's not fully healthy. I think if Mitch was fully healthy, I think you're getting a guy who is a little bit more able to get back out on those shots. You know, let's wait and see. In terms of the extension conversation, the health has to be a part of it at this point, because how do you have a conversation with, and I know people don't want to tag him with the injury prone label, and I'm not tagging him with that, but how do you have a conversation about Mitch without at least acknowledging the fact that he has trouble staying on the court and being 100%? It makes it a tough call. Charm City Knicks fan, another good team effort that comes down to small handful of bad possessions. We have to clean it up. Completely agree. Completely agree. I'm a Thibodeau apologist through and through. I'm a Knicks apologist through and through. They were so clean last year in every way. And they didn't beat themselves ever. And that's what they needed to do to go from a team that was predicted to win 22 games and win, or 21 games, whatever, and win double that much. they upgraded the talent a little bit, and the younger players have gotten better. They still don't have as much talent as 2/3 of the teams in the NBA. So you're not going to win games if you don't have a clean effort through like for 48 minutes or close to 48 minutes. And yeah, absolutely, Tibbs. You know, the only I'm not going to give him a pass, but it's. I don't think they've been fully healthy at the center position. Obviously, they changed some major pieces, Fournier, Kemba. I want to see where this team's at in 10 games or so. I feel really good about where they're about to be over the next 10, 20 games. We'll see if I have egg on my face.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Peter Mangus, thank you for the contribution in the super chat. Appreciate it. Hold on. Get to the top of the super chat here. Kevin Danishevsky, Andrew, help me clean up if I missed any of the super chats. This YouTube not always it's best when it gets rid of these things before I can get to them. Anyway, Kevin Macri, why not go Obi Toppin there? Mitch was getting toasted, so why not go him there, especially with three centers out? Randall played great. Free throws will go in. It's a thought. I thought the – you know, again, yeah, I got to go back and watch – I sound like fucking Tibbs. Got to go back and watch the film. You know, Toppin get – you can – if you're an opposing offense like Chicago, you're putting Toppin in pick and roll every time. If he's in the game and it's a late game situation. And we saw it in, I think it was the third quarter, the end of the third quarter, beginning of the fourth, something like that, where they put Toppin, and Toppin's not going to play up on a DeRozan or a LaVine. He can't play up on those guys. Cause if he plays up on those guys, they're going to drive right by him. And we saw him lay off and, like, you know, it was a half decent contest and it went in. And, like, that's the benefit of having two of the, I don't know, 10, 15 best offensive players in the league on the same fucking team, not to mention a guy like Nikola Vucevic. So I think if Obi was in the game down the stretch, I think they would have targeted him every time. I think they would have switched, and especially since the Knicks are switching liberally now, which is good. I like that they're switching liberally. I think he closed with the right lineup. You know, didn't work out. What else we got here? Prototype NC. Wrong to say Obi should have closed. Robinson playing the whole game when he was gassed and having Randall at center at the end didn't seem great. Again, I thought their best chance. And again, what are we talking about here? There was one instance down the stretch, and I don't want to be critical of Clyde, but like this thing about like the mice is away, or the cat's away, the mice will play. Like you got to at least acknowledge what we're seeing with our eyes, which is a version of Mitchell Robinson that can't move around. I mean, the couple of ball threes where Mitch didn't even think about getting out to the corner. And again, I'm not placing blame on Mitch. Clearly he's physically inhibited. Anyway, there was the one drive where in the last couple minutes without a center where, you know, they got it. But like, I thought their best defense all game was when they were aggressive on the perimeter and when they got into passing lanes and when they didn't make any catch comfortable and when they were really fighting hard around screens and then fighting hard around the screens and then getting back and recovering, which is the thing that Mitch couldn't do, is get back and recover after he was on the screen, because that's what the problem was. They kept putting Vucevic in the pick and roll, in the high pick and roll, and Mitch would go with the ball and he couldn't get back after Vooch popped out. You know, when you're playing small, you could at least do that. So again, I don't think putting Obi in the end there was, you know, was the answer, but you know, whatever. But again, I just want to acknowledge, I just see a comment in the regular chat. How many games do I have to watch the opponent's five stretch us and hit threes? Nikola Vucevic is one of the five best offensive centers in the game. There's a reason the man makes $25 million. There's a reason the Bulls gave up two first-round picks and a good young center to get him. Like, this is why people predicted the Bulls are going to be a top-five offense in the league. Like, it's really hard to guard this fucking team. And I will maintain that if it wasn't for 14 borderline egregious fast-break points that the Knicks gave up in the first half, absolute fault on them for that. That's where they lost the game. Because if you don't give up those points, then you're talking about, you know, giving up more like 105 or 110 points to the Bulls. And if you give up 105, 110 points to the Bulls, you win the game. So, you know, CT Pittman, what do you think is the reason we cannot put together a full 48-minute game with the effort like in the third quarter? It comes up in spurts. I don't have an answer for that right now. I mean, it's getting a little late in the game to chalk it up to, oh, we're still adjusting to roster changes. I think in this game in particular, I hate to give credit to this guy. I really do. I really hate to give credit to him. But Alex Caruso getting in every fucking passing lane. And like Derrick Rose, I don't think Derrick Rose has been stripped on four drives this season. And he was stripped in four drives in the first half. He had three turnovers in the first half. And I remember at least one in the second half that he got stripped. Like that shit, that's, I mean, I think Fred Katz called him one of the best perimeter defenders in the NBA. So that was part of it. I think the kid from Illinois, the rookie, I don't want to mispronounce his name, Ayu Dematsu, whatever his name is, thought he was good on defense in the first half. But again, the Knicks were like, it's a little sloppy on defense. And it against this monster of an offense, it adds up. I guess here's where I'll give you some encouragement, CT, for me at least. And again, I'm rose-colored glasses all the way. If I compared this game to how they came out in like the Houston game or some of these other games that they've come out looking like, my God, a team that just absolutely dreadful. I think this was a lot better. You know, you just got to clean it up. I think we're getting there. I think we're getting there. Emil Boumansour. I hate being in close games with teams with elite wings. Me too. It has been the difference in both games. I'd rather have the ball in DeRozan's over Randall's 10 times out of 10. Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I mean, that's a fair comment to say that, like, you'd rather have the ball in DeRozan's hand than Randall. Absolutely. You know, but I'll say this. I think Randall gave him some really good defense. I mean, it's tough to play whatever he played. Did he play 40 minutes tonight? Played 39 minutes. You know, I thought his defense was good. DeRozan, like, he's still not a good defensive player. But again, offensively, absolutely, he's a better player than DeRozan. That's very fair. Anthony Sixto played one of the top teams, overcame a huge deficit, and nearly won while missing critical pieces. it's a rough loss, but lots to grow from here. Hashtag 53 wins. I love that hashtag 53 wins. So what would the Knicks have to go to get to 53 wins? The Knicks would have to go, do some quick math here, 42 and 19? No, that's not right. That's not good math. They would have to go 42 and 21. So they're 500. Can the Knicks win twice as many games as they lose from here on out? I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Not putting it past them. 42 and 18? 42 and 18, not 42 and 21. Okay, thank you, Andrew. What else we got here? Hannibal Miles. The Rose for Mitch sub at the end was puzzling. Again, I'll agree to disagree there, although I get why people are – I would just – again, anyone saying that, I would encourage you to go back and watch the possessions where Lonzo Ball had those two open threes, and thank God he missed them. Like, it just – it's and the Vooch threes. You know, it's just – you can't ignore that stuff. But, again, agree to disagree. It's fair. The only thing that's setting me off tonight is any Randall slander, so I'll be – clear. Great comeback. This is unfortunately part of the misery we have to bear while we iron out the kinks. Randall is fine-tuning his game. Give him a chance. Yeah, I agree. Thank you for the equation there, Andrew. Kevin Danishevsky, OKC lost by the amount of Oklahoma City first-rounders and Knicks second-rounders to the rest of the NBA. By the way, to follow up, Obi played awesome tonight. Play him. Yeah, I thought Obi was – listen, I don't want to – I feel like when I defend Tibbs, as I am obviously want to do, for not playing Randall or Obi more, it comes out as like Obi slander. And that's not what it is. It's just I do think Obi is in a one-on-one situation against a guard or a wing like those guys. Can be had a little bit, but then again, so was Burke. So you know what? Maybe it's a fair comment. Obi's activity, again, I know, you know, he had a couple rough moments on offense where he got stripped and blocked or whatever, but like, just he is, and I'll say it, I've said it a bunch of times, his activity is so unnerving for an opposing defense. And I thought the Bulls did a good job on him. I thought the Bulls played a really good, as good a defensive game as the Bulls could play with their personnel that they had out there. So, by the way, what else? Oh, Hush Zoo. I love IQ so much to preface. Yeah, I guess I see where this is going. Two can look like Steph Curry in game, and then suddenly after he's Ron Baker. Oh, that's too far. That's too far. Wish he had more of a consistent game. Look, he was, if I could read, he was 6 of 17 tonight, 3 of 9 from deep. He had 3 assists, 2 steals, and a turnover. He had 15 points. If you're asking me, did Emmanuel quickly play a good game or something less than a good game? I'll say maybe by the slightest margin, I do think he played a good game because he never gives up on the defensive end. He pushes the pace constantly. And I thought, again, the play call at the end, that's not on him. The only bad decision he made was the step back two, and that was an adrenaline shot. So, like, I thought he played a good game. It's just he's a young player, and he's going to get better. Wixell Metellus, the casuals are really mad tonight. It's so easy to focus on a couple of missed free – is that what people are getting on, the missed free throws? I mean, you know. And ignore the grit and heart displayed by our best player and leader. Go Knicks. Windy night outside in the old PK. Yeah, and let me again just defend the people who have been critical of Randall this season. I've been critical of Randall this season. I've written newsletters that have been very critical of Randall this season. I've called Julius Randall out this season on multiple occasions for his effort, for his unwillingness to bend really bend his game and really embrace what the Knicks were trying to do. And I still think if he had done that early on in the season and been a player capable of truly adjusting his game to fit in a guy like Walker and Fournier, you know, and that's on him. And he deserves blame for that. And I get that some of that frustration carries over into a game like this. I get all of that. I also don't know that it's fair, and this was a theme from early on this season. I also don't know that it's fair to expect Julius Randle to be able to elevate his game to that of a top 15 player in the NBA. Because asking a guy to, after he adjusted his game completely several times over the last few years, to then adjust his game again coming into this year and completely recalibrate how he plays. And I thought he tried. I thought he just failed. And I think sometimes his efforts and the fact that he was trying and it wasn't working, it got his demeanor down. And we saw that. And it's frustrating to see that. But again, he's not a top 10 or a top 15 or probably not even a top 20 player in the NBA. But he's the best we got. And I do think he cares and I do think he tries. And that's why I do go to bat for him. And I thought he played his ass off tonight. I don't know what more, you know, I don't know what more you want from him. So hopefully that clarification is helpful. Okay. Man, you guys are on fire in the super chat tonight. Thank you everybody for coming in, watching, the whole thing. We appreciate it. The only reason we do this is because people come and watch and listening, and obviously the contributions are a great bonus. Harry Donard, I have a feeling I'm going to agree with this one. A lot of smart people laughed at the Bulls for the DeRozan contract. Maybe it doesn't look so great in the third year. Sometimes you just got to go for it when you have the chance. 1,000% agree. And I don't know if I laughed, but I was one of the people who, when we saw the number, 3 for 85, no option, I was like, wow, that's an overpay. It's a lot of money for a guy who's on the older side and is probably a bit more of a regular season player than a postseason player. But you know what? Then again, you know, I'd be curious to see what elite defense is going off track here. I'd be curious to see what elite defenses do against him in the postseason and if they can target him. And if the Bulls can get around that even without true rim protection, and how much having Caruso and Ball and I guess this kid Domantas, who's a really good defensive player, can make up for that. But fuck it. I mean, if you're Chicago and you've been – I mean, if you list off the laughing stocks of the league, and I understand they had the Tibbs years, but if you take those years away – well, you can't take them away, but like go back over the last 20 years. Knicks, Wolves – I'm sure I'm missing a team. Kings. I'm sure there's another team or two that I'm forgetting, but like the Bulls, even with the Rose MVP, Tibbs, Gibson, Butler, all that stuff, they have been as dreadful of an organization as you can imagine since Michael Jordan left. And they needed to do something positive for themselves and feel good about it and just have a win. And like, yeah, did you pay him whatever $7 million a year too much? $5 million. I mean, whatever it is, and again, that is even that comment's going to look silly because he's going to make an All NBA first team. And if you make an All NBA first team, guess what? Those guys get paid max contracts, or maybe not first team. He's going to make an All NBA second team at the very least if he keeps playing like this. So great comment, Harry. I appreciate that. James Stanzoni, what's going on, James? John, you're the greatest. I'm not the greatest. We have to remember how the real world works, and 29 teams are game planning all week for Julius Randle, and he still is performing. Exceptional. Recently, 44 wins. We have to be objective. Yeah, please don't give up on the hashtag 53 wins. I really don't care at this point what the win total is. I'd love to get in the playoffs. If they're in the seven, I'd be fine with this. Honestly, if you put a gun to my head, you give me truth serum. I don't need truth serum. I have this. I'd sign for the seventh seed right now. doesn't mean they can't get the five or the six. I don't know if the four is realistic. I'd sign for the seven right now. I mean, shit, I might even, depending on who we play in the 7-8 game, I might even sign for the 8 seed. The East is that good. They just need to consistently get back to the basketball they were playing last year. And we don't talk big picture on these post games a lot, but the whole reason why last year was so important is it was a signal to the NBA that the Knicks are an organization that can be taken seriously again. And at some point, whether it be by trade or free agency, probably in a year, not this summer, meaning the following summer, whatever it is, they need to get that other guy. And the only way they're going to get that other guy is if someone believes in them enough. which is why they need to get back to playing this way consistently. Vicious stale, hashtag 53 wins. What are you drinking tonight, J-Mac? You know, if I could get up and get the bottle, I forget what it is. It's something that somebody sent me when my wife was pregnant as a gift for our second child. It's a wonderful bottle of scotch. I'll show you guys the next post game. Okay. Charm City Knicks fan. Definitely worth noting that Kemba was the first to high five Burks after the that game tying fourth quarter three. I love these Tibbs Knicks hashtag culture. Yeah, the Kemba situation, everybody, I saw it was funny. ESPN had their, like, Bobby Marks, I guess, put together, like, the tradability or whatever of every NBA player in the league. And Kemba was the thumbnail for the article on Twitter. I actually don't think he's going to get traded. I don't see an obvious trade for him. I think, and maybe he does. We'll see. If he wants to get out, he'll get out. And you know what? He may want to get out. And so then maybe he does. And I'm going to look silly, but I think he's a pro. And I just, you know, it's going to take some, like, the Knicks are not going to give him away. Because I think they want that salary for some deals potentially this summer. I think the Knicks are eyeing this summer, and Kemba's salary is going to be important for that. Jeremy Chase with a regular comment. Macri, we had a Kevin Knox sighting. Yeah, I don't know if that's a good thing or not. It's after 3 years, right? Coach Cal says this is when Kevin Knox is going to blow up. It was a big three, though. I'll say this. It was a big three in the moment. Rich McLeod, what's going on, Rich? Opponents too comfortable in MSG. Please don't yell at me. I'm not going to yell at you. Of course. It's a great comment. They, in the first half, part of what was frustrating is they were so undisciplined. That's the word I'm looking for. They were undisciplined on the defensive end. And that lack of discipline, in addition to the turnovers and the fast break points, that lack of discipline is what is the Bulls took advantage of it and they got whatever they wanted. Last year, they were disciplined. So in a way, yes, that is allowing the opponents to get comfortable. But again, I'm going to take a positive in this very specific sense, which is that at times this season, they have played a brand of defense that was unrecognizable from last year. Even in the first half tonight, for as sloppy as it was and as undisciplined as they were, I thought that, like, again, there were signs that they were trying to get back to they fell on their face. So they can't fail anymore. They have to be better. But it's a good comment. It's 100% very fair.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Okay. Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I just saw a regular comment in the chat. Kareem, what is this? I lost your last name. Somebody asked me what kind of teacher I was. I'm in my school 9 a.m. tomorrow morning, baby. I'm still a teacher. I ain't giving that shit up. Having too much fun. But for anybody wondering, I'm a special ed certified teacher. And so I teach everything. I teach math. I teach English. I teach chemistry. Teach fucking basket weaving if they need me to teach that. Kareem Assort. I'm probably not a very good teacher at any of those things, but I try my best, much like on here. Robert Cross, my man, Robert. You bet your ass we will. Hashtag 53 wins. That's great. What else we got here? I see wild out here on Long Island. Okay. I'm glad things are wild out on Long Island, Andrew Claudio. Almost caught up here. Pastor Claudio's Obi Hive, the best name in these post games. Casual fans are better than content creators. Free Obi. Hashtag free over. Respect to that. Kevin Danishevsky, is there a guy in the draft that you think could really help this team? What's his face? Balmero on Duke. I think he's pretty good. I don't know. I haven't even started worrying about the draft yet, I'll be honest. I've been lagging on college basketball so I could use some guidance. Wild about the wind. Thank you, Andrew. The big point guard from Duke looks pretty interesting. He's shooting it well, apparently. There's a guy that I pay attention to. JD, Bulls traded for Vucevic at the trade deadline last season. Knicks need to trade for Valanciunas this deadline. Wow! Coming in hot! Having a monster year can shoot threes. This is where my, like, being 92% really good with the cap, I need that extra 8%. So Valanciunas signed an extension this offseason. I'm, like, 87% sure that means the Pelicans can't trade him this season. I could be wrong. He may be tradable after a certain year, after a certain date this season, but I'm pretty sure he can't. In any case, I wouldn't expect the Pels to trade Val. And honestly, again, like Val's a beast. And I think Val would help this team. God knows, I think he's like leading the NBA in 3-point percentage, which is awesome. I'm not sure that that's the guy I'm giving up a ton of assets for. Not a crazy comment, though, at all. Haitian Ferg, what's going on, man? Randall haters are simply uneducated. I'm going to read this one with all my chest. Same people who hated on Melo, same people who were hated on Ewing. We're nowhere without him. His supporting cast needs to step up. Heard that before. Yeah, I mean, the only thing I'll push back on that is I do think the supporting cast stepped up tonight. The problem is, again, and I was one of the people who criticized Melo specifically during the later years where and really extra specifically – To me, the thing with Melo that always rubbed me the wrong way and I could never get over was how he came back after Linsanity and just that kind of – I wonder how I would feel about that if I was living it in the moment now where he didn't really kind of embrace that. At the same time, I'm sitting here talking about Julius having difficulty adjusting to new pieces that were signed in the offseason. And that was LaMelo was like out for 8 games and all of a sudden like the entire – you know, ethos of the team changes and he's expected to come in and like change his game to accommodate this kid who like nobody knew who he was 3 weeks ago. So again, I wish I was a little maturer when I had those takes. Anyway, I digress. The supporting like Randall, again, he's the best we got. But if you go through the list of teams and you're like, who's the best player on this team? Who's the best player on this team? Who's the best player on this team? And you rank Randall on that list, he's going to come out. I don't know exactly. He's probably going to come out somewhere around 20. That's not his fault. He's doing the best he can. And he's not been good this year. He has not been good this year. I want to be very clear about that. He has not been good this year. But this is not a game to criticize him. Do I have to read that, Andrew? Stop hating Carmelo Anthony, you casual. Okay, thank you, Andrew. Lunas Emirat, encouraged by Jules' play without Kemba. A little concerned, though, about – I don't know if this is AB or about. We know we eventually need a number one star. When that comes, how will he adjust to a star guard? So happy you said that. I had a comment in, I think it was today's Knicks Film School newsletter, where somebody brought that up about, you know, what happens when we get that guy. And that is an absolutely fair and valid concern. And I will file it under good problems to have. If it transpires, good problems to have. But that's very fair. I see a goodness gracious. There's a big number coming up here. Aussie Knicks fan. We are all students at the Macri School. We're all students at the Macri School of Cutlets. I ate my last cutlet. I think it was two nights ago. But I'm hungry. I think I may have to eat some of my daughter's popcorn. Oh, no, there's a leftover taco. I forgot about it. Or leftover taco meat, just enough for one taco. That got me excited. Matt R. I don't know who you are, Matt R. I haven't even read your comment yet. Thank you, Matt R. You're awesome. I hope all the best for you and your family over this holiday season. And thank you for coming and watching and contributing. And you're the man. Fire episode and chatter. Shout out to teachers and Ron Baker. Ron Baker, children's book author, Ron Baker. Ron Baker's a guy, Andrew, take notes here. Can we get Ron Baker on the podcast? I'd love, he's not going to make my top 75 Knicks of all time list, but I'd love to talk to Ron Baker, who I believe, we've joked about this on the pod sometimes, that he's working in like healthcare now. I hope whatever you're doing, Ron, you're happy, and I love Ron Baker too. Let's talk biz, Macri. Find me on Twitter. I will. Here, this is live streaming. Since I am too incompetent to like know how to like copy and paste or to get a picture of like a super chat or whatever, I'm literally taking a picture of my computer screen here. Okay, there we go. I'll hit you up soon. What else we got? Can I talk to Jorts next? I'd love to talk to Jorts. I think shout out to Bernardo Zaraski, co-host of Final Review. He was a big Jorts guy. He's after Ron Baker on the list. What are some other people that you want us to get on the Knicks Film School podcast? We're happy to take requests. Big Midget, Cutlet Portuguese Roll. Oh, cutlet, Portuguese roll, lettuce, tomato, mayo, a little bit of ketchup. I don't tend to go to ketchup as my condiment on any sandwich other than a burger, which I don't know. Is a burger a sandwich? I guess it is. That's fine. That's a nice little combo there. What did you do? You put Kareem in timeout, Andrew. Bad job by you. All right, a couple more comments, and then I have not written word one of tomorrow's newsletter, so I am going to go soon. Brian McElwain, Kemba for Theo Pinson straight up. Well, unfortunately, Theo Pinson's not on an NBA roster right now. I believe he's playing with the Boston G League team. He had a nice – I think I saw he had a nice night the other night. Man, I miss Theo Pinson. Shout out to Theo wherever you are. I love Theo on the pod too. LDS. We probably should ignore the fact that our center rotation has been in shambles all year. I said it before. you can't talk about this team without mentioning the fact that, as you say, hard to be consistent on defense without knowing who's playing. It's the combination of Mitchell Robinson, ever since he, I don't even remember what the fuck happened to him, but he has not been the same since the first five games of the year, four games, five games, whatever it was. Between Nerlens Noel playing, what has Nerlens Noel played? Three healthy games? Four healthy games? Like, when you have a Thibodeau defense, which a Thibodeau defense is predicated on what the center is able to do and how the center is able to make up for the actions of the perimeter players, it's a great point. And even so, I mean, I was about to say, probably not the wisest move to look up the Knicks defensive rating after this game. I am going to bet that even after this game, the Knicks are going to be 17th in defensive rating, maybe 16th. Let's see how close I am. Or will I have egg on my face? They're 19th. They're 109.1. And over their last 15 games, which includes tonight, they are 17th with 109.1. So a lot of good that did. Yeah, they're giving up about 109 points per 100 possessions. It's not where they need to be. But I do think if they get the center rotation healthy and in good shape and the whole thing, or even like one center healthy, just give me one healthy center, I think they're going to be a top 10 defense. I feel really strongly about that. Jeremy Cohen's in here. What's going on, Jeremy? I hope this week hasn't been too rough. A lot of people have been giving you love in the chats and the super chats throughout the last couple post games. Knicks Nation loves you, Jeremy. Andrew, for a second round pick, who says no? Is it a protected second? I don't know. We'll see. We love you, Jeremy. We love you, Andrew. And despite the fact that I was yelling and screaming before, we love everybody here in the chat and the super chat and everybody out there, even if you are critical of Julius Randle. On that note, I am going to get out of here. It is almost 11 o'clock. I am going to try to put this game into some kind of coherent context for tomorrow's newsletter. In the meantime, don't forget to join us for both pre- and post-game here on the Knicks Film School YouTube channel for Saturday. You will not have me on either of those, which for some of you is probably a gift that you've been waiting for. But you will have someone very good and very amazing. And I will be back with you for my podcast with Jeremy to start off next week. And when do we play again? I think we play – do we play Tuesday night? Do we play Monday night? Whatever. That's the next time you'll see me on a post game. Until then, everybody, a good, happy, healthy weekend. And we will see you soon. Take care.